So the gadget detective Fevzi Turkop is here. Fevzi, Apple iPhone update, which has caused some problems. Tell us some more.
I know, you love it, don't you? I remember when God was a boy, the slogan was, with Apple, it just works. And, you know, used to people say it's expensive, but it works, and you don't have to be tech, and you don't have to worry, and everything just works. And now I think that's no longer true. So this is now the nth incarnation of iOS 11, Apple's operating system for iPad and iPhone. And it was 11.0, 11.0.1, 0.2, 0.3, and now we're up to 11.1 and 11.1.1. So there have been five in a space of a few weeks, and still they haven't got it right. The latest one is to fix a really strange bug in the autocorrect, where the letter I is sometimes autocorrected as a capital A and a question mark.
That doesn't help when it's called an iPhone, does it really?
It becomes the A question mark phone. Is it a phone question mark? It's really bizarre. Question mark in a box or a capital A. So they've rushed out a fix for that. But what makes me very nervous when anyone rushes out a fix, and this is not just Apple, they often break other things that were working before in the rush to get this most fundamental problem out of the way. And a lot of people, for example, have been reporting since they upgraded to iOS 11 that the battery life on their devices has gone down. And again, with each sub-iteration, they've been trying to solve it, and they've been solving it for some, and then other people who weren't previously troubled then become troubled by the problem. So, and this is a difficult issue now, because I tell you for why. This current version of iOS has a fix for this Wi-Fi bug that I think we may have spoken about before, called Crack, which is a bug in the security on Wi-Fi, which is really potentially serious, because it means someone in the range of your Wi-Fi could hack into your system. And Apple have announced a fix for it in 11.1. So from that point of view, you should have it. So you've got this sort of Hobson's choice of going for this software in the belief that it is more secure, but in the knowledge that it may possibly be less stable. So you have to choose between security and stability, and both are important. Neither of them should be optional extras. And so much so, some people who are still on iOS version 10 have stayed with it and have decided, well, okay, it's a security vulnerability, but they need to be near my Wi-Fi to do it. I'd rather have a system that works reliably, as iOS 10 has been around for a long time and is stable. And it highlights, I'll just say one more thing about this, it highlights one more failure in what Apple does compared to, say, Microsoft. So when there is a bug or a vulnerability found in Microsoft software, they tend to go back and fix it for versions of the software that are years old, such as Windows 7, which hasn't been current for donkey's years. But Apple have fixed this vulnerability for iOS 11, but not for 10.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
So if you want to stay with 10, you've got a choice. It's not just the new features you're giving up. They stopped supporting it from a security point of view. And that's naughty, because some people don't have the choice of going to 11, because if they've got a slightly older machine, it may only support 9 or 10 and won't support, say, 10 or 11. So what they should do is, when there's a security weakness, they should be patching it, going back to at least a couple of generations, at least, and they're not doing that. So it's a slapped wrist for Apple, I'm afraid.
Before you tell us about your gadget, Fevzi, which we always look forward to, your gadget of the week, tell us about YouTube, who've decided to restrict disturbing children's videos. These are ones that are involving things like Peppa Pig and characters they know, yeah?
Yeah, so this falls into two categories. There are independent producers of videos that use well-known children's characters for completely inappropriate, violent or sexual videos. And, you know, they have been the subject of takedown orders for copyright and other reasons for a long time now. So they use children's characters and then completely, you know, off-the-wall videos. But there's a second category as well, where they're not necessarily violent or overtly sexual, but they're sort of sinister and disturbing, and they're from the original, you know, producers. And some kids' cartoons can be a bit scary, unfortunately. So they're saying they're relying upon people to report that which they find unsuitable for their children, and they will now look at pulling it down, even if it's not overtly violent or sexual, if they think it's going to freak children out.
Yeah, exactly. There was that Peppa Pig one, wasn't there, having his teeth out.
No, I mean, some of it is, I mean, quite frankly, there's something disturbing about SpongeBob as well, in my view. I can't watch that without feeling slightly creeped out, and I don't know why, but there's something not quite right about it. That's what's happening. It's not a bad thing. I think, you know, all these social media platforms now, they're under a lot of pressure to be all things to all people. And, you know, they came up with this great idea of let's be this huge repository of video or comment or images or whatever. And now they've realized that they can't just any longer pretend that they're just a conduit, that they have some responsibility, because they've always argued they're not a publication and they don't have the responsibilities of a publication or a broadcaster. They are just, you know, space on the internet, as it were. But I think increasingly, you know, governments and individuals are not wearing that argument, and they're asking for these things to be more regulated. But the issue is, these are global businesses. How do you regulate it? I mean, you know, Ofcom and, you know, the BBC and so forth have their, you know, their own regulation. But for internet companies, do you rely on them to set their own rules and enforce them? And who checks on that? There's no body that can do that.
Let's turn to your gadgets. What have you got? You got a minute to tell us about your portable charger. This sounds quite cool, actually.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is, so these portable chargers, these are essentially batteries that charge up USB devices, be it smartphones or tablets or a lot of cameras and other devices. And increasingly now, notebook computers as well, that charge up via these new USB-C connectors. So that's great, except when they all start running out of charge all at once. Now, you can get little portable chargers that are about the size of a lipstick, and they'll get you out of a tight spot if your phone's battery is, you know, on the way out and you just need to make a few more calls or have your sat-nav just get you home. That's great. But this device is from a company called Anker, spelled A-N-K-E-R. It's called the PowerCore Plus 26800 PD. PD stands for power delivery. So the 26800 is the milliamp hours. This means it's huge. I mean, to give you an idea in terms of how much capacity it holds, it's enough to charge about a phone seven times over, or a tablet twice over, or a notebook at least once. So it's not more flexible. It's got two standard USB ports on it and a USB-C. So a USB-C is the new version of USB, and it allows, for example, devices like some of the Apple MacBooks, for example, charge from this device as well. So if you're on a long journey and you haven't necessarily got access to a main socket, you can charge up to three devices at one time. And have everything on the go, and you know, or you can have a low power device and just not need to go to a wall socket for a week, you know. So that's pretty good. Price is not cheap, £69.99, but I particularly like the fact that this one's got the USB-C, because it will allow suitable compatible devices to be charged much, much faster. So, for example, the new iPad Pros, the new iPhone 8, 8 Plus and 10 have got the capability of having this sort of rapid charging. And that, you know, that's obviously to be welcomed, particularly for the iPads that have got huge batteries, and similarly for the MacBooks. It's not only Apple gear that can be charged with this. There is other gear as well, so you have to check the compatibility list. But there's a lot of similarly titled ones from Anker. So once again, it's the PowerCore Plus 26800 PD version. Four stars out of 10. Four stars out of 5, I beg your pardon.
Great stuff, Fevzi. Thanks for that, Fevzi Turkop. He's the gadget detective. Do have a little look at what he does on Twitter.
BBC Radio Oxford.